Khan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, a couple of weeks ago, weekend is coming up here. Carnarvon Wagon's going to roll at 5 o'clock. Just reminding you, I don't want this to get too darn serious. But there's a breaking political story here in the Chicago area, and Natasha Kerecki is joining us to discuss it. Famed, longtime Chicago journalist of great renowned, I would say, Natasha is.
Yes.
Would you agree with that, Natasha? Would you agree with that?
Natasha would agree.
I don't know.
Natasha's probably too humble.
Yeah, there you go. All right, hey, let us do this. Let us go back and remember who this gentleman was. Now, this is a guy named Ron Sandek. He was a politician here in Illinois who was, would you call him? I think I would call him this, Natasha, an up-and-comer. Right, a guy on the make, a guy on the move.
Yeah, he definitely was, rising through the ranks of the Republican Party in the state. He was the floor leader in the Illinois State House. So pretty much every single bill that came up, Ron Sandek stepped up to the microphone and argued about it, and very well. He was very articulate.
Really
guy.
Good, mm-hmm. Really good. We had him on the show a number of times. I think he's a smart guy who is in a state that is as screwed up as Illinois is. He was a voice of opposition to the status quo. And I think a lot of people appreciated that.
And then he seemed reasonable, too. You know, like a reasonable voice.
Right.
It wasn't like a tack dog style.
Right. Smart. And mm-hmm. and sort of hit the Chicago media market well, because this is a pretty sophisticated place.
Sure.
But I guess something happened, because then all of a sudden he was like, all right, that's it. I got to go. See ya.
Right. It seemed so abrupt, so sudden, and the reasons just seemed a little bit, well, flimsy, I guess, is what
right.
remind
at
us.
First, his story just did not seem to measure up. I mean, he resigned very suddenly, and he gave this lengthy statement to a blog in Springfield, the Capital Facts blog, saying that, oh, I was driving home from a White Sox game and I just had this moment of clarity and I decided I would resign. And it just, he was so high profile and an ally of Governor Rauner and Illinois Republicans. He was in the middle of everything. And the big clue to me, I think, at least, was that everyone was completely silent. There was no one saying, oh, my gosh, we're going to miss him. Let's give him a going away party. It was just like complete silence.
Or people ran away.
Yeah, the way people do in political circles when they want to distance themselves from the others.
Right. No one was answering their phones. No one was giving statements like, oh, yeah, good guy, that kind of thing. So I think everyone kind of expected that something more was up. And, then there's been this kind of drip from the police reports, which at first were blacked out, and then we all went back to and appealed that, and then today it was released more, and it's not in its entirety, but far
so more. Let me read the blazing headline from Natasha Kerecki on Politico.com, and Natasha works for Politico now, longtime Chicago Sun-Times woman, but now with Politico, and basically covers Illinois for Politico, which is that's a full-time job. Police, : woman Sandek met on social media demanded money from him. So that's what this appears to be. Was he being shaken down? Was there what kind of contact were they having? What do we know?
So what we know from the police reports and from his own statement, which he released almost at the same time as the police reports were released, said that he had inappropriate communications with this woman. It turns out, was part of a bigger ring, and they had some kind of interaction over Skype. She first, these people, which he says is part of a bigger ring, approach him over Facebook. He responds, then she calls over Skype. They have some, different interactions, and we don't know the extent of them or the details of it, but it was enough to make him then pay this woman, these people, however you want to describe it. And the police report is described as an unknown woman in the Philippines, who then says, basically extorts him and says, if you don't send money via Western Union, this is going public. So we don't know what she captured. He said it's inappropriate. I mean, we all can use our imaginations.
But, I can't imagine.
You need a picture to be painted for you.
I need someone to explain it to me.
Yeah, I don't
apparently
know.
So did he.
You know, and so he did send two payments over Western Union and then MoneyGram, and apparently these people kept going and kept asking for more, and that's when he finally went to police and said, look, this is what's going on,
right.
and told them everything and gave them all the information according to these police reports. Now, again, you know, we have a very just very specific world we're working within, and then he also, I should say, put out, you know, a very apologetic letter today saying that he made poor decisions. I made a mistake. I'm human. I'm remorseful and ashamed. I've hurt my family. You know, so it's clear he's resigned. It's clear he's paying a price for all of this.
I guess my question is, if this was outside of politics and not using any political slush fund money or anything like that, maybe it comes down to something between him and his wife or them to figure out. And I just wonder, is there something he did that was also publicly wrong? Did he lie to police?
Before we answer that, public slush fund money, do we know that?
No. I'm saying okay. There's no proof of that at all.
Okay.
I'm saying
all right.
that because okay. because it doesn't seem to involve at this point any public
okay.
any public money or political
this
money.
This just appears to be an embarrassment with the family.
An embarrassment with the family, and I wonder, is there more to it than that? I mean, is there anything else beyond that that would reach the public scope?
It doesn't appear so. From what Downers Grove police. An attorney from the village of Downers Grove, this is where he lives and reported the crime, said that he was a victim and that had nothing to do with his public position. I mean, it had to do with his public position to the extent that he was targeted, most likely because he was a high-profile state rep. And that's, you know, that's why they sort of, as he said, lured him in, into this. And it does not appear that he lied to Downers Grove police. There's no indication of that right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. You know, you're seeing this kind of a version of a catfish situation
sure.
with public people. And it's been going on forever, right? I mean, I guess we got to go back to Mata Hari. Go back to Cleopatra. I believe Cleopatra might have been the first catfish. As she was trying to take down the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is this kind of thing has been used before where, sex is used to try to compromise political or powerful people. Now, what is interesting to me about this, and, you know, I hope that once the former state rep makes amends with his family and wants to talk about this, I think his side of this story would be very interesting to hear, because it's an interesting cautionary tale that I think a lot of politicians find themselves in, powerful people find themselves in, and it would be interesting to hear how they get sucked in and how they're being targeted here, because that's a pretty fascinating thing. Right.
There is a side of this story. Okay, so there was inappropriate contact with this woman. He's married, and he'd be embarrassed if the pictures were released. But there's also that other side of being like extorted, right? And that the international ring going after politicians.
Right. I mean, yeah, certainly I think that's a somewhat mitigating, but I doubt that.
Well, I don't think it's mitigating, but I think it's interesting. I think there's something to this.
Yeah, the fact that he's targeted, but yeah, you're right. I mean, it's a black eye. I mean, people I talked to today just sort of privately said, like, this is just bad and
dumb. Did anybody use the word dumb?
Yeah, I'm sure his wife did. Maybe some words that are worse than that, too.
That's good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think there's going to be some time in counseling. Yeah. I don't think, though, these kinds of things that occur, they don't happen necessarily in a vacuum, right? So then you wonder, was he targeted for political motivation or just financial motivation by this ring? This ring is just doing it. Or was this ring working at the behest of somebody else? You have to start to look at those kinds of things because it happens with great regularity. And then you get a situation like you had with Anthony Weiner where he just didn't give a crap. He was like, I don't care.
There was no vast conspiracy there.
Well, and the issue with him is that he apologized, and every time he thought he had kind of like, you know, emerged from it, something else would happen, and he would do it again and again.
Right.
you know, there's no indication of that here. But like we say, there's so little that we know. And I almost wonder if he did himself a disservice by giving this lengthy statement at first that was very misleading. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't add up. And all it did was make everyone question it more. Yeah. It was misleading. It was very misleading what he said.
There's no reason to lie when the truth will do the trick, right? I mean, and that's that, unfortunately, you know, in a situation where you get caught, you know, with your pants down, and, you know, there might be a moment where you have to just, you know, just fess up and go, okay, that's what happened. This is how it occurred. And he was leaving anyway, right? I mean, why not leave? Because
right.
this is the kind of stuff that is going to eventually work its way out, especially if he makes a police report because it's public record. And he mm-hmm. knows that. Mm-hmm. He's a state rep, so it's tough.
Yeah, the other little interesting tidbit from some of these police reports, and we do have them linked into the Politico.com story, is that the FBI wasn't full-fledged involved, but they did reveal that they had some interaction with just helping kind of trace this stuff. So they're, you know, this is real. It existed. They traced some of it back to the Philippines, but there was basically, as a local jurisdiction, they were unable to do anything. And they, you know, referred it to the Philippine police, you know, some kind of international police there, but, you know, they're,
yeah, they're too busy. Have you seen what's going on in the Philippines?
They got a
crazy guy running the Philippines, right?
Absolutely. Shutting down people who do drugs.
Is he son of a whore? You know, hey, welcome to the Philippines, Mr. President. All right, Natasha, excellent work. Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. Thanks, Natasha.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Natasha Karecki, you can read her in Politico, politico.com. She's the Illinois editor for them.
And does keep her busy, I bet. You're right, Rome. Can you imagine? You're in charge of Illinois for politics.
Right, one person. We used to have newsrooms.
Can I get a team on this?
Right.
You know,
there
maybe?
Were bureaus in Springfield that did nothing but this. And now it's like, hey, it's one person doing the whole thing. Oh, for the network. Okay. All right, here we go. We've got Violetta Potter Medic standing by with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots, and she's troubled.